Hello, I'm Cheryl Burns, host of The Grazier's Grapevine. A few weeks ago, I sat down with Josh Green, Russ Wilson, and Dave Hartman to talk about the PA Grazingland Coalition's mentorship program. Russ and Josh are in their second year as a mentor-mentee pair, so we talked about the program itself, the issues that they focus on, and how formal and informal programs provide support for all grazers. Let's start with Russ. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
My background. I come from conventional dairy. I grew up in a conventional dairy, and I guess in 1989, the dairy went out of business. It basically could not survive. And after the dairy went out, I've worked for six or seven other dairies until they either retired or went out of business. And just a couple weeks ago, the last dairy that was on our road sold their cows. And there was 11 dairies on that road whenever I grew up as a kid, and the last dairy finally closed. Growing up in a conventional dairy, whenever I started with the beef cattle with my wife in 2008, I tried to run it like a dairy. And it didn't take me long to figure out that I was going to go out of business. So in saying that, we had to make changes, and the changes that we made are what we're doing today with the regenerative agriculture. And, you know, we've made a lot of mistakes through the years, and now in what I'm doing, you know, I go out and do a lot of speaking, a lot of consulting work. I have a YouTube channel. I try to go out and I try to educate other producers to make them profitable too, because so many of the small farms, they're just not profitable. They cannot compete with big ag. They just can't do it. So, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
And Joshua, how about you? Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. So I think that the seeds of wanting to be on a farm came from growing up on my grandfather's farm in North Carolina. He was a gentleman farmer. He was a doctor in a small country town. But he loved plants. He loved trees, and he planted about 100 acres of pecan trees. And so I grew up, my uncle would raise cow-calf pairs right under those pecan trees, and that was between that and fishing in the pond and being on the farm, that was kind of the great moment in my childhood. And so I became a school teacher. I was a biology teacher. And in about 2009, the farming bug bit me pretty bad. And then we started raising vegetables in town. We squatted on a couple of lots and raised chickens with one of my friends who lived in the countryside. And he ended up losing that farm, which was profoundly sad for me. And then not too long after that, our home was flooded by the Fishing Creek and Susquehanna River. So that was in 2011. And so sort of the farming bug got turned into a quest for higher ground. So in the end of 2012, we, with my parents, got a farm just outside of Bloomsburg. And that farm had been ignored for about 12 years. So about one-third of it had been sort of strip mined by my neighbor's row crop farming. And then the other half has been turning into woods, early successional forest slash sort of showcase for invasive species.
No doubt.
So we tried everything. It was like in the early days of like talking about sustainable farming, and the buzzword was diversity, sort of like Russ's message, except that it was like a recipe for sort of disaster because we tried to do too many things at one time. But that's my original idea, was really to graze cattle. And that was the thing that most kind of caught my imagination.
So Russ, you mentioned that you often serve as an educator, and many people have seen you speak both in Pennsylvania, other states, Canada. What drew you to become a mentor in this program?
I guess I really didn't know much about the program at first, and I believe Josh seen me speak someplace. Was it in Danville?
I used to take my school group. I had an Envirothon class, and we always went to the soil health conferences that the Conservation District would put on. So I believe I first heard you probably in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Something like that, yeah.
So when I was searching the internet one day, I think I found the mentorship program on the PASA website, and it said write in what mentor you'd like. So I put down Russ.
Nice.
Figuring I probably wouldn't get paired with him because he lives, 3 hours away?
Something like that, yeah. But
200 miles.
It's not that bad. And I guess we're coming into our second year now.
All right.
Yeah.
I didn't learn enough the first year. I flunked the first year, so I have to repeat.
So how did the program work with both of you?
Basically, at the time, Lucas Waybright reached out to me and says, hey, I'm working with this mentorship program, and this Josh Green wants you to be his mentor, and he sent me the description of what it all needed to be and whatnot. And, you know, I accepted because I've been doing education or farm education for a number of years. So, you know, why not have the opportunity to work with somebody that really has the burning desire? Because oftentimes some folks, they're kind of on the fence with it. So it's nice to have somebody that has the passion to apply the principles that it takes to do the regenerative agriculture.
Now, Joshua, did you have specific goals going into the program?
I did. I had been trying to graze cattle for probably 10 years. And I got a few sheep, and then we got a bunch of dairy bulls that we were able to, dairy steers that we could get cheap. And we had those running all over the farm. And then it took a lot of years to kind of get fence and water and what felt like enough animals to start to work the land. And I had read a lot of books, watched a lot of videos, but I didn't seem like I was really making the progress that I thought I would be on the grazing piece. And so it seemed like I just needed somebody to kind of look at the grass with me a lot more. I have a lot more questions and try to improve my skills faster.
So after you were paired, how did things progress?
Working with Lucas, he made arrangements for me to go out and visit Josh's farm with him and walk the farm and, you know, kind of see where Josh was at and where I could help Josh to improve his farm. So I made the trip to almost Bloomsburg, I guess, and went from there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he recruited me to help put water line in that day.
Yes,
bonding,
so we were
work.
Yeah.
Brought him in on a work day. Well, we were kind of limited on schedule because in my own personal situation, I was leaving to go fishing in Alaska for the summertime. So I wanted him to see the farm before I left, and unfortunately, we really weren't grazing yet. So it was a little bit difficult, I think, to make really good use of that visit. But at least he could see what I was looking at and knew what the farm looked like and what the cattle looked like. So that was helpful. And then from there, we pretty much would call and text. I'd send him pictures, which it's almost impossible to tell what you're looking at on pictures of grass. No matter how carefully you take them, it's really hard to get perspective.
It's difficult, and, you know, and sometimes you send texts, and it's like, how was that supposed to be meant? Or, you know, You know, so, but yeah, we've whittled through it. We've made several conversations on the phone, and I've been there whenever Josh has needed help.
And then our kind of the final piece, well, the program has two visits scheduled, one for me to visit Russ's farm and one for him to visit my farm. So our visit the first year happened in April, and then I saw his farm in October. And that would have been nice to sort of switch those around if I could see his farm first when he was grazing, and also if he could see my farm in the middle of the grazing season, which didn't happen last year. But this year we should have time to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. So did you have to overcome any issues to work together successfully? Or it sounds like since he put you to work on day one that you hit it off.
Oh, no. I don't think we really needed to do anything special. You know, we've always been able to work together very well. Nothing special been done.
I think
it's kind of nice whenever you share the same interests. Yeah. You know, it makes it a lot easier.
It was an icebreaker for me because we had a bunch of trenches dug for water lines, and Rust jumped right in the hole, and he's like, oh, look at this soil. This looks great. Look at these worm channels. So he started encouraging me right from the beginning. I'm like, really? This is good? Oh, yeah, this is great. He said, awesome. I haven't seen grass like this all over the state since I drove here this morning. Like, well, thanks.
Perfect learning environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing better than a trench laying water line because it's like a huge giant soil pit, or I like to know it as a giant sandbox.
Did you get to trace everything the whole way down?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a big sandbox.
So what were some of the biggest changes that you made as a result of working with Russ?
Yeah, we were working on a tough one there, I think, with the Avesos. Of course, I'll let you answer the question, but I think one of our major ones was the Avesos that you were working with.
Yeah, we were definitely trying to increase the length of our grazing season. That was one of our big goals, was just to graze farther into the fall, into the winter, which we were able to do, I think, the first year, but it's hard to tell because we had such great even rainfall, so maybe it was a false positive. But we did move cows about three times a day from April until December. So we worked at it and really tried to change our paddock orientations. On the invasive piece, we just kind of kept... I said, Russ, we tightened the cattle up, and they all jumped over the fence. He's like, well, you guys got to go slower and slowly make it narrower until they're comfortable. We still had a few jumpers, mm-hmm. but we tried to put them in some, like, 12, 10-foot wide areas to really pound down autumn olive and some of that rose.
And are you working on anything currently?
Yes. So this year's project is, well, kind of some big changes. And I talked with Russ about this through the transition, but we had kind of a cow-calf herd with a bunch of finishers as well. And we sold those, and we're going to try to custom graze organic dairy heifers this year. So we're getting certified organic right now. The certifier just came yesterday. And we have three dairymen who are eager to send us their heifers.
That's great.
So
and it is. It's awesome.
And Russ kind of talked me through that, too. He said that was some of the most profitable parts of his farm was when he could graze.
Yeah, when you can custom graze,
custom
it was.
Custom graze.
Yeah. Yeah, and I look forward to seeing how you make out with these guys. So.
Now, Russ, was there anything that you learned from working with Joshua?
Nope.
That's an
easy question. Next question.
One of the things that I learned from Josh is his chicken tractors. It's one of the nicest, he builds one of the nicest chicken tractors out there, where you don't have to lay on your belly whenever you take the chickens out. You know, a lot of them are built so low, and you basically have to crawl in them, and it's no fun. So Josh makes a tremendous chicken tractor, so I copied his chicken tractor. You know, and it works great. I mean, other than the one that I built too tall in it, the wind caught it and made it a big kite. But,
and chickens everywhere.
You didn't follow the plan.
No, I did it, you know, my style. I don't follow the plan on nothing. But, you know, I took his principles, and the one that I kept down low and built more like his, it's a wonderful way of grazing poultry.
All in all, would you recommend the program to anybody looking to get into grazing or looking to make changes in grazing?
Oh.
Yeah, I would highly recommend the program. The only thing that I caution is to try and get paired with the right folks, because, you know, every farm and every person has different ways of doing things. So it's kind of, I don't know a better way to say this, but it's kind of like whenever you're getting livestock. I mean, you gotta have livestock that are gonna, you know, you want to buy livestock that are being treated the way you're gonna treat them, and you know, you gotta be paired with your mentee. Yeah.
Disciple. Mentee.
Yeah. You gotta be paired with the right disciple, I think, in order to make the program work properly.
I think where Russ and I are on the same page is that he's kind of getting rid of all of his equipment. I never had any equipment. I don't want to get any equipment. And so, like, that kind of focus on, like, low input management. And then I think the other thing that appeals to me about Russ is just his sort of obsession with biology and different species. And in that way, he's, you know, not just plants, but also birds and the rhizosphere. So that was what drew me to him.
So even outside of the program, people work together, sometimes with neighbors. You know, they meet somebody at a meeting, work together casually. Do you have any thoughts or recommendations of how to make those relationships successful based on your experience in this program?
You know, just working with people in general is basically to go to conferences and different things like that. And so you're with the same type of person that share your interests. I think that's the big thing to working with the different people. You know, you're going to meet people, you can network, and you're going to find people that share the same interest as you. So that's.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're able to meet in person today, even though we're all like a big triangle, 2 hours apart from each other.
We're all over the state, yeah.
But we were able to meet in person today to record this because there was an event in Columbia County that Josh helped put together. He was the impetus to bring it all together, and they invited Russ out. So I was really excited to be able to come out and meet Josh, see Russ. It's been years. But grazing groups are so important. And Josh, I know that you're trying to coordinate getting people together. Russ, you've kind of been involved in grazing groups, and there are some in the southern part of the state where I am. Do you think that participating in something like that is really something that both experienced and new grazers should do, or is there somebody that is there an ideal person to participate? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, my thoughts on it, I'm actually involved with Northwest Project Grass. I work with I'm on the committee for the Northwest Pennsylvania grazing, what do they call it, the conference. It's a grazing conference. I think it's important for people or farmers to come together as a group, and and whether you're a beginner or you're a very experienced grazer that's been doing it forever, for the most part, you're going to learn no matter what stage of the game you're in. You know, it, like Project Grass, we're not super active, but we do have a couple field days throughout the year. There is some other grazing groups, and I'm hopeful that Josh is able to get this up and going. I'm pretty excited for him about it. I know some grazing groups, they meet once a month, and they go on other people's farms once a month. And then in the wintertime, whenever they're not able to get on farms or there's nothing to see, they have a room and they invite people in to speak. So it's a great learning opportunity for everybody.
Yes, I think so. I look at what Dave Hartman has done back in the day, and I wasn't always involved in grazing when he was running these meetings, but they had a pretty long-running grazing group in our area, and right now there's basically nothing. And so I got a really good response from the Columbia County Conservation District. We now have a Northeast NRCS grazing specialist, and she was working with us on trying to get this meeting started. And we had a really great turnout today, so about 60 people, and hopefully there'll be a little bit of a seed of interest that we can keep going and have just some pasture walks throughout the years.
Yeah, I think pasture walks is important because you're just going seeing how other people are doing things. I mean, you're going to go to a farm. It's not necessarily you're going to do everything that they did, but, you know, maybe you could take something back to your farm that's going to help you out in the long run.
Yeah.
And I think what I like about the on-farm walks is, like, you get to see the sort of sloppy corners of people's farms.
Yeah.
You get to see the whole piece.
See the place and its working flows, so to speak.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, one of the things I noticed over the years with meetings that we planned for several years was a lot of people had became permanent contacts and long-term friends because of those meetings. They met each other and then ended up working together, maybe doing business together in some way, shape, or form, and just long-term good relationships.
So well, with those relationships, Dave, you know, oftentimes as grazers, we run into troubles, and it's nice to be able to pick the phone up and say, hey, Josh, what do you think about this? So, you know, making them relationships is really important.
Yeah, agreed. And even recently, as the cattle market's been really, really crazy high, and people have been taking their cattle to the auction, and I find myself thinking, like, we just don't have enough connection, even in the cattle people, to move the cattle around without going to the auction and taking whatever price we get.
You know, even after this mentorship program ends, you know, I can still see myself and Josh working together. You know, we've built relationships and made friends. You know, I don't see, you know, it's a good program.
Yeah, it would be pretty hard for him to change his phone number anyways.
So in addition to talking about just the grazing practices, pasture species, animal issues, did marketing come into the conversation at all?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about marketing. I know Josh had come to me and asked me what I thought about him selling the cows and going to custom grazing. I believe we've had a discussion about sheep in the past. So, yeah, marketing is another one of the things that we had discussed, and maybe Josh can add to that because he's the one that has implemented what we've discussed.
I was able to go to Ranching for Profit School this past October with my wife, and that got me thinking a lot about some of the whole farm questions and whether I wanted to do this as an overgrown investment hobby the rest of my life. And so, yeah, so I put a lot of questions to Russ about that, about, you know, what lines of, what parts of his farm are profitable and how to think about that. So that was really helpful to work through some of those things. They weren't so much marketing questions as much as like, you know, sort of principles of like, what kind of returns do you expect for your labor, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Dave, can you provide a brief overview of the mentorship program?
So I think the way I look at it is in today's agriculture, whether we're talking about grazing-based livestock or whether it would be crop production or dairy or whatever, I think the whole concept of having a mentor has gotten much more important. There's just so much information that people can be swamped with and confused by if you're coming into it green, you know, without a lot of experience, or if you're, you know, new or beginner, to have somebody with experience to help you sort things out and sort of keep you pointed in the right direction is really, really important. So I see more discussion just in the last year of mentorship programs in other aspects of agriculture starting to take shape. So I think it's a concept that's time has come, and people want to learn, but maybe they're not, you know, in a position where they're going to be going to college to study things. They're going to learn from somebody that's already got experience. So what we try to do in our case with the Grazing Coalition is to pair people up who have experience, or maybe even experience within a certain type of enterprise, whether that be grass-based dairy, and whether that be sheep production, or whether it be beef cattle or whatever, silvopasture, anything like that. And we try to pair people up who have that commonality in terms of what they're interested in, or what their experience is in the terms of the mentor. So we recruit people that want to be a mentee or want to be mentored, and try to find the right person for them to work with.
And what's required to participate in the program?
Well, the person needs to be serious about wanting to learn, and, you know, ready to put their first foot forward and, you know, start going and admit that they need help, basically, or could use the advice from somebody else. And so, you know, if you're interested in that type of thing, we do have an application form at the Grazing Coalition website that you can fill out. And we can't guarantee that we can take care of everyone, but we generally, at this point, we're able to pair people up pretty easily. We have several people kind of waiting in the wings that are available to be mentors if we need them. And so we can get those applications in, and, you know, we can get people identified. So,
Josh, Russ, thank you both for taking the time, sticking around this afternoon to speak with me and to share information about the program and your experiences. Any closing thoughts?
I guess the takeaway that most folks should have is, you know, it's a great program. It's a great opportunity for folks that, especially if you're just kind of getting into it, and as I said before, being paired with the right person, that's the whole key on it. And it was like Dave said, you know, you have to want to be able to learn, because some of the things that your mentor is going to suggest might be crazy.
All the push-ups.
Yeah, all the push-ups. Yeah. I don't know what Josh was
hanging
thinking.
Hanging on to the electric fence for therapy.
Always a good time.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's my takeaway on it.
Yeah. I'm a real fan of books, but you can't learn everything from a book, and I think that's where I was at, is I just need somebody else's eyes and wisdom in helping looking at the grass, looking at the cows. I think this is another thing that I learned from Russ is that you can't solve all your problems in one season. So sometimes, you know, Russ is really good at what he does, but he's like, you know what, if you can't do it right now, just skip that paddock, come back later. Or you can't deal with that multi-floor rose on your time schedule, don't worry about it. It'll be there. It'll still be there next year, I have no doubt.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I highly recommend anyone that's wanting to start grazing.
Yeah, it's a great program.
Get a mentor, and it's a great program.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grazer's Grapevine. To learn more about the PA Grazing Lands Coalition, the mentorship program, upcoming events, or to find additional episodes of The Grazer's Grapevine, please visit our website at paglc.org. Thank you.